we don't always actively listen. Infection preventionists are keen to being on a lookout, and so sometimes they don't hear what people are saying to them because they're looking. So I think active listening is just one key methodology that we can use and a strategy that I found, because staff will tell you what's wrong. You don't have to find it. They'll tell you because they want help and they want it to be better. Nobody wants to make anybody sick.
Every day, they slay the dragons of healthcare-acquired infections and dangerous microbial fire breathers. While you may not see them during your next hospital stay, they will be there ensuring the safest possible surgeries by skillfully wielding their disinfecting weapons of mass microbial destruction. They are sterile processing professionals. And this is Beyond Clean, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the global sterile processing industry forward. Join us every week as we introduce you to the unsung heroes, leaders, and innovators who are fighting dirty around the globe. And now, it's time to go Beyond Clean.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Melissa Morgan, System Director of Infection Prevention at Adventist Health. Melissa has over 10 years' experience in infection prevention and obtained her certification in 2012. She also obtained certification in sterile processing and distribution in 2015. Her medical background includes many years as a paramedic before becoming a nurse in 2003. Her clinical nursing experience includes neonatal nursing, high-risk OBGYN, adult intensive care, and med-surg nursing. Melissa serves as the past president of APIC in North Carolina, the 2019 president of APIC in North Carolina, and was the membership chair for two consecutive terms beginning in 2012. She was recognized as APIC North Carolina's Practitioner of the Year in 2015, is a fellow of the Association of Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology in 2017, and has also been honored with several nursing awards, including Employee of the Year in 2008, along with 2015 Nursing Excellence for Cone Health. She participates in several forums across the state as well as the country to influence and drive infection prevention measures as well as sterile processing. It's something, Mike, that we talked to Melissa about after the interview that isn't going to be mentioned today, was that many of the infection preventionists that worked with her and under her leadership in North Carolina also got their certifications in sterile processing. What a great practice. And I can just promise you, if you're listening today, this is an interview with a true champion for our industry.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing that we've talked about multiple times, that if we really look at what SPD leaders need, we need advocates. We need people who are willing to partner beside us to help us make the case for getting that next piece of capital equipment or getting that next FTE approved. We need all of those pieces, and we need people to help us make those arguments. And so this is exactly the type of person that we need to partner with. And so I am extremely excited about this interview. Again, I just can't say enough about how much I love IPs. I love their mission. I love what they're doing. And I genuinely believe that this is the partnership that sterile processing technicians and leaders need to engage in today.
HealthMark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to HMark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs. It's 2023 and there's big news for IST. A closed warning letter, a new product launch, and a 10-year anniversary. OneTray IST has a lot to celebrate this year. OneTray's 2006 cleared 48-hour storage claim was acknowledged by the FDA, and the company is pushing forward, offering the total solution for reprocessing. OneTray maximizes reprocessing time. EasyTrax adds flexibility with instrument organization, and their upcoming product, OneCart, a sealed case cart with a smaller footprint and a perfect option for offsite sterilization, completes the total solution. Experience a year of efficiency with OneTray. For more information on the closure of the warning letter, visit OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. That's OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. Otherwise, you can reach out to the company by calling 937-619-0138 or visit OneTray.com/contact.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Melissa Morgan, System Director of Infection Prevention at Adventist Health. And Melissa, I know before we went on air, we were talking about how the very first episode of Beyond Clean was about partnering with your IP professionals in your facility. And it was with my co-host for this episode of Beyond Clean, Michael Matthews, who is probably the most excited person for this interview today. Really happy to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me today.
So with your vast background that we kind of went over in the bio for the introduction to the episode, you've had a great deal of experience and in a variety of different settings, not only being a paramedic, but also as a nurse, but then all these different departments. But I think just for our listening audience, many of them, I'd say the majority of them, represent the sterile processing industry. Maybe you could talk to them and tell them a little bit about what drew you to the area of SPD.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. So I just really have to be super honest. In my career, I never thought sterile processing would be something that I put down as a place I was familiar with or had even worked in. When I was a paramedic, I was very in love with being a paramedic and then got hurt and went to nursing school. And all throughout my nursing school time, I just knew I was going to work in the neonatal intensive care unit. So I just kind of stumbled in to other opportunities and leadership roles. And when I became an infection preventionist, it was so important that I understood how the work happened, not really maybe doing the work, but understanding the work. And in that meant that I needed to be down in sterile processing, understanding how things got done.
So kind of along those same lines, I mean, like we mentioned, you had extensive experience in a number of different areas of healthcare, and I'm curious just how much familiarity did you even have with this area called sterile processing in the hospital?
Well, I will tell you that I knew I never wanted to work in the OR, which means I wasn't really familiar with SPD either. As a paramedic, we never sent our laryngoscope blades anywhere to be cleaned. We cleaned them on the truck or in the sink in the ED. Please don't repeat that. I think all my IP colleagues would throw me out. But that was how it worked in EMS in the 90s. And then in the nursing world, all I ever knew was that our instruments, where they came from and how to get them back. So I didn't understand how complex the work was and how much sterile processing did really behind the scenes and You know, I just knew what the finished product looked like. It was so eye-opening for me to actually go into sterile processing and see how the work was done and get to know those employees and people.
That's great, because I feel pretty confident in saying that the general public has almost no familiarity with sterile processing. And I think what probably takes most people by surprise is that even within healthcare professions, there's very little understanding about sterile processing and what is done. And so I'm curious then, once you did become an IP and you did kind of discover this world called sterile processing, what was it that you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, what are the risks to the patients that are specific to what's being done in these departments?
So, you know, they really are the man behind the curtain, right, from the Wizard of Oz, because without sterile processing, we would have a whole lot less to do, because they are truly the foundation for how we get our work done and how we prevent infections in our patients. That work is fundamental to ensuring that I have the right tools to do the job and they're the safest they can be.
So you mentioned in your life story that you're a paramedic, you love being a paramedic, you know, you got injured, then you became a nurse, and then through your nursing and ICU experience, you kind of got involved with infection prevention. How then did you get plugged into what is going on in SPD?
Well, you know, infection prevention is usually seen in hospitals as two different groups of people. They're either the hand hygiene police or the folks that nose around, right, that get in your business. I like to say I'm a professional detective, and I like to ask questions, so I like to seek to understand. I think if any of my staff were out there, that they would tell you that my favorite sentence is, can you help me understand that? So in sterile processing, since I knew so little, that was such a great place to understand that work and get down in that area and just spend time with that staff.
So walk me through that. I mean, what was kind of that first initial experience where, you know, you as an IP professional say, let's go down to sterile processing and see what they do?
Well, unfortunately, you know, there was an issue, right? We had gotten a report that there were some concerns, and so we needed to get in there and figure out what was going on. And because I didn't know the entire process, I actually walked that process all the way from the patient who was sick all the way back to the start of how they entered the hospital. And in that journey, sterile processing was a key part of that work. I think sometimes sterile processing can be the easy out and, you know, it must have gone wrong in sterile processing, so that's why something happened. But I actually had the opportunity to recognize that work and say, you know what, their process hadn't changed, so I don't think that's where the problem came from.
That's a great point, because I think two things that you mentioned are really critical. And one is I personally have rounded with IPs before, and I know exactly how the tenor of the room changes when the IP walks in the room. You know, all of a sudden everybody's kind of cleaning up their work area and everybody's kind of paying attention to hand hygiene in a way that they wouldn't have before. And I know what that's like. And then I also know what it's like to kind of feel like you're the police, that you're there to kind of point fingers and assign blame. And so as we kind of think through this, I think that it's important to note that in this particular instance, you were somebody who was not blaming a department, but instead was actually saying, hey, look, they're doing a good job. I'm drawing attention to that. And I think that's critical for SPD, because we need to understand that IPs are not your enemy. You know, this is potentially the greatest friend that you'll ever have. But I can't imagine that overcoming that initial resistance was an easy process, was it?
Oh, no. Who trusts an IP, right? Because an IP's job is to find out what's wrong. The way I try to approach infection prevention is I need you to tell me where you think the process is broken, and then let's partner to fix it. I try to come at it from a more collaborative partnership, and let me help you leverage my role in patient safety throughout the organization so that I can get you what you need.
So you have this challenge, you go down to SPD, you kind of start talking to people, you're realizing, I'm assuming that, you know, it's like a whole new world has just opened up to you. What were some of the challenges that you were able to identify? I know that you said that specific to this particular patient issue, that it wasn't SPD's problem, but I mean, generally speaking, I'm sure there are challenges that did come up. So what are some of the challenges that you had identified that did need to be fixed in SPD?
So, you know, of course, we did have opportunities. I think we all have opportunities, right? When I was down in sterile processing in those beginning days, what I noticed is that there was no standard work. You know, you had excellent technicians, you had new technicians, you had those technicians that maybe weren't as invested in the work, but there was no standard. Not everybody did it the same way in decontam. Not everybody did it the same way in assembly. So with that lack of standard work, that was an opportunity for error. I also noticed very quickly that the support infrastructure in the sterile processing leadership, as well as the department, was just not solid. Many times we elevate people into roles because they were really good at what they do. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm a great leader. And have I been empowered and given the skills to lead well? And so I felt like not having a support infrastructure or a goal plan, there was no professional development ladder to encourage people to want to do this as a career. And given how fundamental sterile processing is into what happens in the hospital and how well our patients do in general, people need goals and people need things to strive through. And unfortunately, sterile processing, many of those departments report to operational services or materials management department. There's very little, oftentimes, fiscal investment into the tools that sterile processing needs to make their job easier. So there's just a few examples of things I saw as a challenge to the people that work in that area.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because episode one of Beyond Clean with Mike Matthews, one of the things that we talked about, and you brought it up, how they'll flip-flop between perioperative services and supply chain or materials management in terms of reporting structure. And we talked about how one of two things. One, maybe they should report to infection prevention, or they should be elevated laterally so that they're counterparts instead of passed back and forth between surgical services and materials management. And because they're always kind of that middleman in that game. And I think, you know, being a lateral service would help, you know, prevent that. Something else that you described is almost like the light bulb that goes off for so many nurses when they go into sterile processing. And I did not work in surgical services as a registered nurse, but when I went and made the leap to the dark side as a vendor, as they love to say, this is where I sold into sterile processing, and I knew I needed to get involved and be a resource. And so the thing that we all see almost immediately is not just the lack of standard operations, but that standard of work is different from the vendors and the manufacturers of the equipment that go into the department, and trying to navigate that. And then when you talk about leadership and all the structure, it's definitely a challenge for people to then try to navigate something that's so unclear. You know, you mentioned, you know, the washing of the hands. I remember in nursing school, we got taught how to wash our hands probably every single year at the beginning of each semester. And those instructions are very clear. They're the same. There's never any right. deviation about how you wash your hands. But when you come down to washing instruments and how you reprocess them and sterilize them, and even the equipment, some of the instructions for use are contradictory. What a challenge that is to the department.
Absolutely. And that's what I loved about being a director for infection prevention and then also having operational directorship of sterile processing. I believe that that combination is such a powerful elevation of the importance of sterile processing. And now that I have moved on to another facility, I'm very lucky that the organization I was with recognized that that leader needs to be at the same level. Because when you're not, somebody's telling you what to do. No matter how transparent an organization is or how much they believe in a culture of equality, because of the work and the nature of the work, most sterile processings are in the basement or back behind an OR. There's just an unknown or unspoken rule. And so when you have those leaders at the same level, they have an equal field and they can fight for what they need.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that's where we really have always encouraged sterile processing professionals to partner with IP, because I think you have a little bit more tentacles into the entire organization. And so you kind of understand the politics at a whole different level and how to be able to, like you said, get the right tools, get the right support, get the right finances, how to work through that. And really recruiting people from other departments is key. A lot of the things we just described, nothing new for sterile processing professionals, but there's a lot of IPs out there that are starting to listen to our episodes as well and look to us for additional knowledge. And I think this is one of the great reasons that you're coming on this show to talk a lot about your experience, because I want to hear about what strategies you put into place to improve SPD. And I want to come at it from two different angles. I want to come at it from how do we encourage the folks that are listening from sterile processing to approach their IPs and get more help. But then also I want to take it from the other side of that equation, which is for all of the infection preventionists that are listening and learning from Beyond Clean about how to support sterile processing, how can they extend a hand and get involved as well? So maybe talk about some of the strategies that you employed.
Well, thank you so much for asking that question. I am a firm believer that we must, as infection preventionists, find a partner in sterile processing and become one. And we need to just start that conversation with humble inquiry. Tell me what you do. Tell me how I can help you. And I think in that same vein, sterile processing leaders should feel confident enough to say, you know what, I would really appreciate you coming down and just looking through my department and telling me where I might have an opportunity that I can't see because I'm a leader in this area every day. And I think if we can do that without an atmosphere of you're going to be in trouble or that you've done something wrong, and it's more about, you know, the everyday when things are going well, you build that relationship and that collaboration. I mean, it goes a million moons down the road. Infection preventionists are supposed to be the experts in everything because the work we do affects everyone in the healthcare settings, and we can't do that. So we need that partner with a sterile processing leader or great technician who knows that work. There's no better partnership than that. I think that by listening, we don't always actively listen. Infection preventionists are keen to being on a lookout. And so sometimes they don't hear what people are saying to them because they're looking. So I think active listening is just one key methodology that we can use and a strategy that I found, because staff will tell you what's wrong. You don't have to find it. They'll tell you because they want help and they want it to be better. Nobody wants to make anybody sick.
That's a great point. And I mean, you bring up a great point again, which is, you know, sterile processing professionals in particular have a good understanding of a very significant piece of what IPs do. And I mentioned when we were talking before the interview that I did, kind of some part-time work as an infection preventionist. Now, I want to be clear, I was not an infection preventionist, even though my job title technically said I was. I just consulted on sterile processing issues. But the reason that I was brought on for that was because in the grand scheme of things, IPs do a lot of things, and there are certain pieces of that that I don't have a clue about. But what I do know really well is understanding the three conditions of what a device can be, which is contaminated, decontaminated, and sterile, and keep those three separate, like that aseptic principle. And I understand that really well, and that applies throughout the entire hospital. And so very frequently, my IP, who I am eternally grateful to for partnering with me and consulting with me and bringing me on to do those things, she kind of saw that I had a knack for that and saw that, that's what takes place in SPD, and kind of says, hey, let's take that and apply it to as many places in the hospital as we can, because that's always valuable. And so moving forward then, and this can be as small or as large as what you want, but what role do you see infection preventionists taking in SPD?
As a nation, I would love for those partnerships to get stronger and stronger. And honestly, sterile processing technicians, I believe, are the frontline infection preventionists. I believe that the way they differentiate between clean and dirty is critical to what they do and to make sure that they don't take things home. And I think they have an appreciation for that, unlike anyone else in the hospital. I would like to make every sterile processing technician just as important and valued in the organization as any infection preventionist. I believe they're core and foundational to the hospital's well-being and safety.
Okay, so Melissa, last question, and this one is kind of flipping the script a little bit and saying, how can sterile processing leaders make your job easier as an infection preventionist? And we already talked a little bit about how they already have the answers. If you just go talk to them, they'll tell you what you need to work on. But how else can they make your lives easier and make your job maybe more effective?
The thing that I loved about joining the sterile processing team was that they opened the door and let me in. They didn't mind that I was looking around. They didn't mind that I was asking questions. They were open to listening and understanding, and that made my job easy. It wasn't me having to prove who I was or what I didn't know, that they just let me in. And then they taught me. They let me understand. They hooked me up with resources so that I could learn from what instrument inspection was, and they gave me books, and they just made me feel like I was a part of their team, and that helped me become a better infection preventionist.
Excellent. Melissa, there is a lot of really good nuggets of information in this interview for our listening audience, no matter what perspective they're coming from and what role they play in healthcare. And I know with everything going on in the world right now, you're probably already burning the overtime clock. And so the fact that you made some time to speak with us, I just want to thank you so much. And I also want to try to give you some encouraging words and just let you know that we recognize how important the work you're doing is, especially right now. And so thank you from all of us at Beyond Clean, not only for coming on the podcast and sharing your insight, but for digging in deep lately.
Thank you so much.
That was Melissa Morgan, System Director of Infection Prevention at Adventist Health, talking to us from the infection preventionist perspective. A much needed perspective and a great partner in every facility. Mike, I know we've said it several times throughout the interview, but this was a key focus for you in your role as a sterile processing manager, but also really what you wanted to talk about on your very first episode of Beyond Clean before joining the team. And I'm glad we've circled back around on this one, because we have since made many good friends in the industry who are infection preventionists, who follow us on LinkedIn, who get engaged and are trying to fight the good fight out there, but they can just be such a great partner.
Absolutely, because, I mean, these are the people who do, in some respects, the same type of work as what sterile processing technicians do. They do the behind the scenes, the stuff that doesn't get put on a billboard, but at the end of the day ends up protecting an unknown total number of lives. And so, again, I know everybody, when they see the infection preventionist walk in the door, oftentimes they kind of tense up and they get scared. But the thing that we really have to overcome is this ought to be your best friend. Like, this is your partner. This is your buddy. This is your comrade in arms. This is the person who's going to help you do what needs to be done to protect patients.
Yep, absolutely. We're all stronger together, and that's definitely something that we feel strongly about here at Beyond Clean, and it's part of the reason we want to pull that whole online community together to continue pushing for the progress in sterile processing, and infection preventionists can help just as much as anybody else in this industry. But that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to our show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Mike and myself, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Beyond Clean.